I was at university in 1918 when armistice was declared. And that was a great day, that day. No lectures, of course.
Oh, yes. People just went mad.
Oh, the day of the armistice was a real moment of rejoicing.
Anzac Day on ABC Radio.
Yes, a somber day, Anzac Day. So is it the time to play sport, do you think? You've just heard from Andrew Moore earlier from Grandstand saying, well, there's 40,000 punters who reckon it's a terrific day for sport. They're about to watch the derby, the local derby of the Roosters and St George go round. Dr. Tom Heenan, he's at the National Centre for Australian Studies with Monash University and joins us today. Hello there, Tom.
G'day, Wendy.
Boy, oh boy, have you set the cat amongst the pigeons today.
Oh, I've just been out having a quiet breakfast after the dawn service. I must have missed it all.
You've written in the New Daily that it's time that we call an end to sport on Anzac Day. Just give us a bit of history, if you would, first, Tom, about how we came to be playing these big, big marquee matches on Anzac Day in the first place.
Well, in 1995, the AFL decided that a blockbuster game could be played between Essendon and Collingwood, and they had the RSL on site because under the 1958 Anzac Day Act, the RSL gets a portion of the money from the gate. That, of course, means the RSL don't get a portion of the money from the broadcasting rights, which is a far bigger pie. Mm-hmm. But it's taken off. And now you've got a highly corporatised form of the game being played on Anzac Day. And as you said in the introduction, you've got a car logo on a field of poppies, which emphasises the corporatised nature of the occasion.
Mm. And you also mention an incident here which I didn't realise. Tell us about in 2015 where the AFL bent the rules.
Well, a game was played in Wellington. And there was a two-hour time delay. The game started at 1 o'clock, but it came into the Melbourne and Sydney market at 11 a.m, which meant the game, you can't do anything before 1 p.m. under the agreement, under the Act. So the game was actually broadcast into a market while the march was still going on. And the services... hadn't been completed. So the AFL just got around the rules by heading to New Zealand.
Yeah. And what did you think of that effort?
Well, I didn't watch the game for a start because I deemed it disrespectful. The other thing about it was that when it was actually planned in the August before, the head of the Victorian RSL said he was quite disturbed by it. But the AFL CEO, Gillon McLachlan, said, well, this is the way to celebrate the centenary of Anzac. It suggested that McLachlan had actually hijacked the Anzac Day from the RSL.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's been a big variety of opinions on this one among writers today. Before we go to some of those, and if you would like to call, and you're very welcome to join us, 1-300-222-702 is the number. We've got lots and lots of comments on our Facebook page, but you can also pick up the phone if you've a mind. There is an example in an article written in The Guardian here, Tom, which I think might just about make your hair curl. It says that Mick Malthouse wrote an article for the Herald Sun, and he said, while I would never compare a game of football to genuine warfare, he said, just a few paragraphs later, perhaps the closest we get to the bravery of the Anzacs is on a football field, dressed in team colours, armed with a game plan, working side by side at the stoppages and in the packs, treating the opposition as an enemy to destroy for a win. Well, what do you think of that? Does that sort of rhetoric make your hair stand on end?
Well, for a start, I think Malthouse has got the wrong game. It was rugby union that had the biggest sacrifices in war, not the AFL or VFL of that day.
I thought you were going to say the AFL can't match up to the bravery. I thought you might be a union man.
Well, far be it from me to be on the rah-rah side, but that sort of nonsense is often peddled by the sporting industry. To justify you know, the connection of sport to war. Of course, there is, if you go back to the old days of muscular Christianity, there is a huge connection, because that was the way people were educated at rugby and in the grammar schools, that sport was preparation for war. And there seems to be a hangover of that in the way in which people like Malthouse approach this. But, you know, it's just absolute nonsense.
And you bring up the work of this particular academic here, and her name is, let me just grab it here, Margaret Harris.
Yep.
And she says that there's a very different attitude in New Zealand. Can you outline that for us?
Well, it's more conservative. It's not that they don't do sport. They do it in a more respectful manner. It's more nuanced. It's not about, you know, the corporatised game that we'll see at the MCG today. It's about having respect for the ANZAC, but still doing sport in a respectful way that in many ways commemorates the myth.
If you had your way, Tom, you're saying in this article that we wouldn't be playing sport at all on Anzac Day.
Oh, look, having said that, I'll probably look in on the game this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
But it is a day for commemoration. And you've got to make a decision about how you commemorate war dead. You know, it may be that the way to commemorate war dead is just to have a rest from sport and reflect on what it is you are actually commemorating. There was a moment at the dawn service that I went to this morning where one of the speakers said, if you go to the football, take a moment to reflect on what it is, what this day is actually about. Mm-hmm. And if I went to the football this afternoon at the MCG, I don't think I'd be able to reflect on what the day is about, because I'd be pounded. My eardrums would be pounded with various corporatised slogans from the speaker system and advertising on the scoreboard.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting one. It's said, and we were talking to Andrew Moore earlier from Grandstand, who said what happens at least in the league matches, that they do have they're very nice commemorations. And if it weren't perhaps for those league matches and those commemorations, for a lot of people, it might just be a public holiday.
Well, I suspect that a lot of people do approach it as a public holiday. One of the things that really be said about the sports industry, what really does anger me is when they actually take responsibility for, you know, either reinvigorating the day or educating people about ANZAC. I would have thought that it was actually historians that did this, and probably one of the most influential books published in Australia was Bill Gammage's The Broken Years, which really did start to bring back ANZAC Day and the ANZAC myth after the Vietnam War. And a number of historians like Ken Inglis, Bruce Gates, have done the same thing.
Mm.
These are the people really responsible for bringing back Anzac Day. Mm.
All right, well, we've got a couple of calls there here. Tom, if you'd like to hang on, if you're able to. Jenny from Croydon, your thought, Jen? Where is Jenny? Hi, Jenny.
Looking sort of all at the wrong thing, because when you consider the truce on Christmas Day between the British and the Germans in World War One, which is actually when the whole big Anzac thing is really sort of set back to. What's the problem with having a sport game on a day that remembers soldiers? Now, you said that in the 70s it sort of, the money was given to them to, mm-hmm. yes, to help them, which I think is really good. And I think really you should be, if anything, rather than calling for a stop to this, you should be calling for that to go back to happening.
Mm, yeah, what is the situation with the funds for these, thanks Jen, for these matches? Do they still go to the RSL?
They should get a minor percentage of the gate.
Yeah, minor percentage of the gate, but not the broadcast rights, is what you're saying.
I think a Fremantle game, the Hall game in Fremantle, a couple of years back, the amount was something like $15,000. Mm. The bigger issue is that isn't the main revenue source of the AFL when it comes to its broadcast rights. You should get a much higher percentage because more people watch the game on television, and that is the major revenue base of the game.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Belinda from Coffs Harbour joins us. Hi, Belinda.
Hi, Wendy. Yes.
Your thoughts today?
Well, I support the previous caller, but I think we should go even further. I think that every cent from a big sporting event like that, a money-making sporting event, should go to the soldiers or the legacy or something to help the soldiers, because I think that would soon sort the men from the boys. Broadcasting rights, anything that was above the cost of running the game. You know, I mean, soldiers, my father was a World War One soldier, and he was no wowser, so he would have loved the sport, but he wouldn't have approved all that money, you know, sort of it being a money-making enterprise. And I think that's exactly the same with shopping.
Yeah.
If all the money that people made on that day went to soldiers' charities and to help the soldiers, that'd be one thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good on you. Thank you for that to Belinda. So Belinda echoing your words there, I think, Tom. Well, look, thank you for joining us this morning. As I say, this article that you've written here in the New Daily, I think it's been picked up everywhere, and I think journalists from all over the place are hopping in on this one. And I guess it's a perennial debate, is it? I don't suppose we'll ever change. We're very slow on these things in Australia, aren't we?
Well, it'll be back next year. Will we still arguing the same thing next year, I suggest, basically because there's so much money now in sport, and Anzac Day without sport for television networks is a day wasted.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, thank you very much for that, Tom.
Thank you, Wendy.
See you later. Dr. Tom Heenan there. He's with the National Centre for Australian Studies at Monash University.
Mornings with Wendy Harmer on ABC Radio Sydney.